It's hour number two on this Tuesday, live from Toy Field at Nissan Stadium, presented by our friends at T-Mobile. Welcome in to today's show. If you've been hanging out with us for a minute, we appreciate you sticking around. If you're just jumping in, now is the time. I've been threatening people all morning long. I don't know how to do holiday spirit any other way but to threaten people to come out, if you do not come out, to Nissan Stadium today and donate toys and gifts to seniors in need. We will fight. You and I will fight. I don't know where, how I will find you, but I'll Liam Neeson it. Liam Neeson, is there any excuse to not bring toys or gifts for seniors out to Nissan Stadium today?
No.
You're damn right. 615-737-1045 is the number if you want to get involved. 615-737-1045. We're going to talk about the Titans and Julio Jones and the news on him yesterday. Mike Vrabel spoke about it a little bit. And when I say a little bit, I mean a very, very, very little bit. But I want to go back to the phones. We haven't taken calls here in a minute. I want to see what Rob in Nashville has to say here this morning. What's up, Rob?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, just want to kind of, talk about the last night game. The Patriots, to me, I mean, they was phenomenal. They was my winner for this week. I mean, Belichick, he created what I call the master craft last night as far as that go, running the ball. I mean, I've never seen a team to run the ball the whole game. And to me, to put together a plan the way he did to beat Buffalo proves that he is the master of the game. Him and Brady both together. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for the call, Rob. Yeah, we spoke about Monday Night Football last night because basically I asked you guys, who do you fear? Who is the biggest threat? We do this every week. Who is the biggest threat to the Titans right now in the AFC? Because the AFC is a bleep show. And the Patriots sit atop the mess. And they do it because, as we've seen for 20 years, except for last season when they were down bad with Cam Newton as a quarterback. By the way, we're seeing a whole bunch of toys come in at Toy Field right now. We're very grateful to everybody who's bringing them in. It looks like they're being offloaded from like a truck. I don't know where Rich Ferris, our great promotions guy, is bringing them in by the armful. So we're very excited about that. But for Monday Night Football, the Bills have clear and obvious flaws, right? If your greatest source of running the football is the quarterback making plays off of schedule, you do not have a sustainable model for offense. Like, Josh Allen made some insane plays last night. I was looking at Dawson Knox on my television because he dropped what was an incredible pass in the end zone. And listen, the defender made a good play, so you can't completely get after Dawson Knox for that. But Josh Allen is a spectacular talent, a singular talent, and he cannot do it by himself. And Bill Belichick understood that they were able to manhandle the Bills' defense at the line of scrimmage and just bully them. Ramondre Stevenson is a badass. This guy, with Damian Harris, this may be the best 1-2 punch as far as backfields in the NFL are concerned right now. They are doing it so efficiently that they only required their rookie quarterback to throw the ball three damn times. They are going to find ways to outsmart you. It's why Mike Vrabel's winning record against the Patriots is so impressive. And again, he almost pulled it off in New England in week 12 before things kind of spiraled out of control and the turnovers blew up their game plan. But now, with the clear and obvious threat of the Patriots atop the AFC, they did not lose, obviously, so the Titans were not able to reclaim the top spot in the AFC. Had they lost, it would have been the Titans as the one seed yet again. But let's go through the list. Do you fear the Cincinnati Bengals, who took a loss to the Chargers on Sunday? Maybe. I thought Joe Burrow outplayed Justin Herbert when I went back and watched that game. I thought it was an interesting quarterback matchup. And frankly, Justin Herbert, His average air yards, they're closer to Teddy Bridgewater than you might imagine. It's not like he's bombing the football down the field. I counted like three wow throws from Justin Herbert Sunday that impressed me. But more than anything, I thought Joe Burrow performed. I would fear the Cincinnati Bengals to a degree if you saw them in the postseason, but I don't think they match up with the Titans well. I'm not terribly afraid of the Baltimore Ravens. I think that Lamar Jackson has the ability to make plays at any given point. He's an MVP of the league for a reason. He is an incredible talent, but he is being failed, frankly, by his coaching staff. If you watch what they're running in the red zone and the lack of options that Lamar Jackson has available to them, I don't fear that. In fact, it's negligence. They need to do better around Lamar Jackson. He's being done a disservice, and their football team is suffering as a result. The Steelers are just going to hang around. They've got one of the best defenses in football, and T.J. Watt is playing again out of his mind after returning from injury in the last couple of weeks. But, I mean, outside of the Patriots, I don't know that I'm looking at anybody in the AFC, Titans included, and saying they are the best team among the rest of this mess. Because the rest of this mess is hovering around. I mean, even the damn Broncos have won six games. And they're doing it with constipated offense and Teddy Bridgewater trying to paper cut you to death. Like, it's not a sustainable model. And yet, they've found ways to win games in this AFC. So you look then at the Titans. And you look at the situation. Oh, I've just gotten a note, by the way. Comprehensive Security has brought four truckloads of toys to Nissan Stadium. Many thanks to them for helping us provide a great experience and get some much needed toys and gifts for seniors to Toy Field, where we are out here supporting the Salvation Army today. Many thanks to Comprehensive Security and the great service that they've done to us just now. That's where all these armfuls of toys in front of me are coming from. But back to the conversation at hand, the Titans and what is on the horizon for them, which is just some sign of life from their playmakers. My God, Julio Jones is still on IR. The top three receivers for the Titans are on injured reserve, even though Julio has been cleared to return to practice. A.J. Brown, still on IR. Marcus Johnson is done for the year because it's his second injured reserve stint. And I admire, not just because we went to the same school, I admire Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. I am appreciative of his growth as a player, and I also think that, frankly, he's just not good enough if he's your top option. Your leading receiver in a game at New England can't have 25 yards, and frankly, your quarterback has to account for more than 85 net yards passing. It's a nightmare. So some sign of life from the Titans' skill position players as they await, potentially, and something that we discussed yesterday, a quiet optimism about the return of Derrick Henry at some point. Lucas, I don't know if you can pull up quickly the Ian Rappaport update for what their logic was in shutting down Julio Jones and where the belief is on Derrick Henry right now, but hopefully we'll be able to pull that up for you here shortly. Ian Rappaport went on NFL Network yesterday and kind of laid out what the Titans' plan was for this Julio Jones IR stint, and with a little bit of Derrick Henry optimism sprinkled in over the top.
The entire thought process behind putting Julio Jones on injured reserve was, you know what, put him to the side, get the hamstring better, and just fix it. Just go away for 3 weeks and just fix it. And that basically is where the Titans are. They were able to stay in the mix despite, obviously, no Derrick Henry, despite not having Julio Jones, two of their big guns, Henry coming back later in the season. Jones may end up being back this week. They want to get out there. They want to see him run. They want to make sure he's fully healed and healthy. Mike Vrabel, as you might imagine, not quite into hypotheticals or what-ifs or whatever, wants to see him first before making any decision. But the fact that he is able to have his practice window open, the fact that he is able to get out there and show that he is healthy is a very good sign toward the Titans actually having a fully healthy and real.
It cuts off there, but you get the point. A fully healthy and real offense is, I don't know if that's what Ian Rappaport's sentence was going to finish as, but
a real life offense?
A real life offense. My God. It's been so long. I remember what was after the Texans game, right, where Adrian Peterson hobbled for 16 yards and you saw the entirety of Nissan Stadium stand up as if it was just some sign of life. My God, a pulse.
It's all they want for Christmas, Titans fans.
I just want to see a run that goes for more than 15 yards. I'm tired of tackles for loss. I'm tired of Ryan Tannehill sacks. I'm tired of incomplete passes. By the way, I was looking up some numbers, and actually we're going to do this coming up next. And I want to know from Titans fans, does the news on Julio Jones impact your level of optimism in this team at this point, given everything that they've been up against? Were you just happy to see them go away, as Ian Rappaport described, Julio, go, just go away. Just get the hamstring fixed. Just go away for a minute. Get it fixed and then come back. Do you believe that he'll be able to sustain? What is your level of optimism that Julio Jones will be able to contribute to this team down the stretch run in a meaningful way? 615-737-1045 is the number. 615-737-1045. We'll do that coming up next. I'll give you my opinion on it. We'll take your phone calls as well. By the way, Comprehensive Security has just dropped off 4 truckloads of toys, courtesy of our friends at Comprehensive Security. We're incredibly grateful for them, but we still need more. The toy field looks fantastic right now, but it's not done yet. Interstate side of Nissan Stadium, East Concourse, Gate 1. Get your butts out here. Give if you are able. I promise you, it is an incredibly rewarding experience, and it will get you in the holiday spirit as we try to do something not good but great for the Salvation Army's Forgotten Angels. Kirby Allen Kirby's out here in the holiday spirit. Hell, they even got me bought in, so you know it's got to be a big deal. Toy Field, we're live here until 6 p.m. Get out here. Julio Jones talk next.
We're just focused on today. And we're focused on today and seeing how he responds.
And Mike Vrabel talking about Julio Jones. You wouldn't know it if we didn't tell it to you. Because Mike is just completely, there was not, I don't think, do we know, Lucas, if he said the words Julio Jones yesterday?
I don't know that he did.
I'm pretty sure he actively avoided it. It's this constant game of whack-a-mole with Mike Vrabel about injuries. God, you're just going to have to drag it out of him tooth and nail. Say his name, Mike. Say Julio Jones. He doesn't want to do it. But day by day is the process at this point for Julio, as he has been designated to return to practice while remaining on injured reserve. Now, if you are unfamiliar with the rules on that, we will refresh you. The have a 21-day window from the day that they designate him, which was yesterday, to activate him to the active roster. So they basically have a 3-week window for him to practice without him taking up a roster spot, if that's how they choose to play it. So it doesn't guarantee that he'll be active against the Jaguars on Sunday, for example, but they do have the ability to do that if they so choose. How optimistic are you that Julio Jones is going to be able to make a substantial contribution to this football team? Because I'm looking at this, and I was going through some of the numbers on Pro Football Focus last night. I took our buddy Trevor Sikkema's advice. I signed up for that 40% off Pro Football Focus Elite subscription. Now I have access to all of the fun stats, which helps us make this show. Well, makes me a little smarter, and hopefully we can make the show a little smarter rather than me babbling about a tight end that's not even draft eligible yet from Georgia. It was one of the finest moments of this show.
But we did that with Chris Olave, too, of Ohio State.
No, I know.
Remember?
That's exactly. Because I had a moment because I saw somebody in the chat being like, I'm pretty sure he can't come out yet, talking about Brock Bowers. And I had a moment. I'm like, damn it, I did it again. So, yes, Brock Bowers, who's a true freshman, not even remotely close to draft eligible. Idiot. Anyway, save that analysis for 3 years when he's able to come out and the Titans should draft him. But I was going through some numbers on Julio Jones. And really, it was kind of enlightening to look at it, not just about Julio, but about how poor the Titans' receiving situation has been this season. A legitimate struggle, not just from the standpoint of health, but of an inability to consistently contribute to the offense. It is something that shocked me when I looked at the numbers for not just Julio Jones, but for A.J. Brown. When you go through, they have receiving grades, of course, and I'm not necessarily interested in the grades, but what I am interested in is things like on-target dropped passes. Lucas, let's play some trivia, shall we? If I had to ask you, this will be an easy one. We'll do a two-parter. Who's leading the Titans in on-target dropped passes?
A.J. Brown.
Correct. How many on-target dropped passes has he had this season?
A.J., I'm going to say 6.
7.
Wow.
Take the over. That's more than double the next closest. Julio Jones is second on the team in on-target dropped passes with with 3-7, though, for A.J. Brown. Julio Jones has only played in 6 games. A.J. Brown has at least played in 10, but 7 dropped passes. He's dropping 13.2% of the passes thrown his way. It's unacceptable. Unacceptable. Now, he's been targeted, again, twice as much as the next closest. 76 targets for A.J. as opposed to 31 for Julio, and that's, again, in only 6 games. So it's clear and obvious that when they're on the field, Ryan Tannehill wants to get the damn ball to them. They just have to be able to consistently catch it. So all of this to say, though, that I do think their mere presence on the football field makes this a more threatening offense. And I'll explain what I mean by that here in just a second, but let's get some phone calls in. 615-737-1045. Let's go to Bam, who's up first on 104.5 The Zone. Hello, Bam.
What's up, Buck?
What's happening?
Yo, I think with Julio, with this week, I think with the situation, I think we'll see a different Julio Jones because he hasn't been wide receiver number one. You know, I think his mindset will be knowing that AJ's out, he's going to be wide receiver one. And if they elevate Golden Tate, then he'll be number two, and then they'll probably move, you know, Nick, or, you know, it could be a toss-up between Nick being two, Golden Tate being three, but Julio knows the responsibility until, you know, A.J. doesn't come back to the 49ers game, or at least expected to. So I think we'll see not more of a decoy Julio Jones, but we'll actually see a Julio Jones that has a point to prove, because right now the Titans haven't gotten their investment on return with him. So I think he has a point to prove to the team, to himself, to the media, that he still has something left in the tank. So, you know, I think his matchups, he's going to try to demolish the Jacksonville Jaguars this week. Just for his sake. I mean, he's got to get rhythm back, you know what I'm saying?
I appreciate the call, Bam. And again, that's assuming that he's available to play against the Jags. We do not yet know that Julio Jones will be available to play against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We just know that they have the option to activate him now that he has been at least designated to return. And if you listen to Mike Vrabel, it's a day-by-day process, which is about as close to a timeline as you're ever going to get from the Titans head coach. 615-737-1045. But here's my thing, because, like, you know, Bam brings up, he's got a point to prove. He's extra motivated. On and on and on. And I don't want to outright dismiss something like that, because, like, clearly, Nick Saban, right? Lucas, do we have the rat poison clip handy? Lucas is going to grab it. But, like, my initial reaction to things like that are to say, if what extra motivation exists, they're either good enough to beat or win their one-on-one matchups, or they're not. But that does take away from what is such a critical part of performing in both college and professional athletics, which is the mindset element of things, which is the mental element of things. Because, like, I think that I've often dismissed extra motivation because I think it over-romanticizes what you're actually watching. No, you're either good enough to beat your opponent or you're not good enough to beat your opponent. But the you know, everybody doubted us type stuff, it's really real. When even Nick Saban, who is the greatest, I mean, he's past Bear Bryant at this point, yes? Like, Nick Saban is the greatest head coach in college football history.
Yes.
Can I say that definitively?
Yes, absolutely.
I feel like that's not a controversial statement. So when even the greatest of all time is getting up at his post-game press conference and being like, you know what, that rat poison you fed us all week? Yummy.
You guys gave us a lot of really positive rat poison. The rat poison that you usually give us is usually fatal. But the rat poison that you put out there this week was yummy.
I mean, it matters. It does matter. But, you know, what's more important than is Julio Jones motivated enough is the damn hamstring healthy? Is the time off that he spent away, the 3 games and the bye week, is it enough to get this man up and going in a way that matters? Because, again, I don't even think he has to be the primary receiving option in this offense. I think that he just has to be out on the damn football field so that somebody has to account for him. I'm fine with the Julio Jones decoy experience. Truly, I am. Because look at the numbers. And I wrote about this at AtoZSports.com, what was that, yesterday, where you're looking at an offense that the passing game, it's just not able to create explosive plays downfield without yards after contact, right? That's, and even when everybody's healthy, that's how they like to do things. But when you look at the fact that, for example, Julio Jones has only caught 21 passes for 336 yards this year. He doesn't have a touchdown on the season. Where you're looking at the difference, though, for Julio is that he gives the offense even just the slightest threat of a downfield passing game. His average depth of target is third on the team, 12.4 yards average depth of target. And you're out here trying to paper cut people to death with Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, Chester Rogers, and Cody Hollister, 9.9, 9.4, and 5.8. It's not good enough. Nobody's afraid of your downfield passing game unless Nick Westbrook-Ikhina has a catch and run. And you can't rely. I mean, to their credit, they have tried to find ways to piece this thing together, but it's just been too much to overcome. You cannot continue to exist this way. Get his ass out there and at least make somebody have to account for the potential threat of a downfield pass. It hasn't been good enough to this point. 615-737-1045. Does Julio Jones, do you feel confident in him being able to make substantial contributions to this football team now that we are in the home stretch of the regular season? Let's go to Darrington. I haven't talked to Darrington in over a week. It's going to make me very happy. What's up, my guy?
My guy. Hey, Buck, I just realized something. Being that you're from Egypt, technically, don't you want one of my African-American brothers? Just technically?
Well, I'm, you know, saying. That is for you to decide, Darrington. North Africa is a different world. It's Africa's the biggest continent, but if you would like to
Africa
accept
is Africa.
Africa is Africa.
Well, on behalf of the black delegation, we'd like to go ahead and adopt Buck Rising. If anyone has a problem with it, they can meet me in the parking lot after the toy drive.
Catch me outside. Right, so how about that?
Yeah, there we go. So I was I got another good word that Mr. Julio last year actually tore his hamstring, and that it was not about money. It was not about proving a point, but more the fact that proving that he should get paid, and that he really actually rushed it back, and he did not want to have a surgery to cause an uproar, and that's what he has been dealing with, and it was not completely healed all the way back. And if you want to say what's the biggest factor, can you please let me know when Jeremy McWeapon is coming back? Because that's going to be a consistent weapon. So you let me know on that one. And I'm glad to hear you back. Look at you too, man. Y'all have a good one.
Look at that. It was wholesome at the end. What, did you do that just because he said something nice to you?
Yeah, you say nice things about us on this show. That's what happens.
No, nice things about me, they don't necessarily get the bell. If you get worked in there, then they get the bell.
Is that how it works? Maybe that's just my subconscious. I don't know.
That's a very Freudian slip of you. We'll analyze the psychology of this radio show at a later date. But, you know, and Darrington, as always, is throwing out some stuff that he is declaring as definitive, but we don't know to be definitive. I understand why he feels the way that he does about Julio Jones' situation is because, one, he wants to win, and I think he has shown enough by his work ethic. Let me phrase it this way, all right? Let me give you some inside context. I was getting texts when Julio was out there on the field on a semi-regular basis for the Titans. I was getting texts from people who were watching Titans games, who were associated with the Falcons, who had covered the Falcons, and asking, what have they done to Julio Jones? And my response was, well, I don't understand. What do you mean? And it was things like, he's run blocking. He's chasing down interceptions. He's sacrificing his body for the play. This is not Julio of Atlanta. This is not something that he has done. In fact, this is something that started to rub people the wrong way in that Falcons organization because of, for lack of a better term, how casually he was starting to treat the relationship between him and the football team. Once it became transactional, once it became, okay, I'm about my money first and foremost, if we're not going to do some serious winning here, then I need to be compensated the way that I deserve to be compensated. And by the way, he is well, he has been historically, you can nitpick this year, by the way, the person who is making as much as Julio Jones this season, but who left the Titans in free agency, Corey Davis, he's done for the year. So you want, I understand that maybe if he stays in Tennessee, it doesn't happen. You can go back and forth on this all, but I'm not going to hear any more arguments about, oh, the Titans would have been better off keeping Corey Davis. No, stop it. That's such a lazy way to do the criticism. He's been almost as available as Julio has, which is not very, and he plays for a worse football team. So don't chirp at me with the Corey Davis should have been a Titan argument over Julio Jones. It's null and void. But for Julio, there is a degree of difference here from Falcons Julio to Titans Julio, in that Titans Julio, at least at the start, we don't know what his mindset has been. We haven't talked to him in quite some time, and I don't know how open and honest he would be about this, but there seems to be a legitimate buy-in factor because he trusts the coaching staff, he trusts his teammates, and he trusts what's around him that will put him in a position not just to succeed individually, but to be on a winning football franchise outside of the shooting star Super Bowl team once the Patriots broke the Falcons over their knee 28-3 for the rest of time. Since we're out here at Toy Field, we'll come back to the Julio Jones conversation later on, and of course we'll have updates on that for you as the Titans take the practice field this week, tomorrow, in fact. But we're live out here at Toy Field. It's presented by T-Mobile at Nissan Stadium. It's made possible by a great many people who are involved with this great endeavor today. It's not too late, by the way. We're out here until 6 p.m. You can bring toys. You unwrap toys, by the way. You can bring unwrapped toys. You can bring gifts for seniors for this drive that is meant to benefit and is benefiting the Salvation Army's Forgotten Angels. One of the people making this possible today is James Hawkins, who's the president of Golden Oak Lending. Lucas Panzeca caught up with James, and they talked about why this is so important for Golden Oak Lending to support.
The Buck Rising Show live at Nissan Stadium for Toy Field, benefiting the Salvation Army's Forgotten Angels. I'm Lucas Panzeca, joined by James Hawkins, president of Golden Oak Lending, of course, our 11 a.m. sponsor here on The Zone, and we are so grateful for the support of this great event. James, really appreciate the time. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me, Lucas.
Appreciate you doing this. Just right off the bat, this is one of our favorite days of the year across the board. Producers, hosts, management, everybody loves this day at Nissan Stadium. Obviously, Golden Oak Lending does as well. Why are you guys supporting Toy Field?
Well, this is actually our second year, but we love being involved in the community, and we couldn't pass up the chance to put a smile on a child's face. You know, when there's struggling families out there around the holidays, the opportunity to put a smile on their face, the kids, or to help out those families and have gifts is just too much to pass up.
That importance of giving back to communities in that way, what drew you to Toy Field? I know you guys have dealt with other charitable organizations in the area, but how did you guys become attracted to this event specifically?
Well, the fact that you're helping out kids in the community. I mean, we've all been there at times when you go, you know, through the holidays and you're trying to pinch pennies and figure out, hey, how am I going to, you know, pay for a toy? There's families out there that can't pay for food. So, you know, if we can step in and make sure that they still can enjoy the fun part of Christmas and while they're going through their struggles, but we can help them get through that. And at least still put a smile on a face. That's just so important to us, and we love being involved in it.
I know you've also worked with St. Jude's and Friends of Kids with Cancer. Obviously, a lot of organizations that help children in the area. It seems like that's something that's really important to Golden Oak Lending.
It is. We like to get involved at the ground level. You know, to be honest with you, every year we offer a donation on behalf of every one of the vice presidents in our company. And what that does is that lets them pick somebody that's local in their community, and we can touch more people. We feel like that's a better donation than rather giving one big chunk of money to a national company. Not that there's anything wrong with the national companies, but, you know, the community is our customer. And so if we can give back to that community, that's important to us.
Speaking to James Hawkins, president of Golden Oak Lending, our 11 a.m. sponsor here on The Zone, supporting Toy Field for the second consecutive year. James, speaking of community, you guys are now well-established here in Nashville and in Middle Tennessee. What have you noticed? How do you like this community?
Oh, Nashville's amazing. You know, our local loan officers, everybody here that works for us lives and works here in the community. We did not transplant them in. So, you know, we've hired people that are here and they just have become a great part of our company. And we've seen that both the people and the culture are extremely welcoming, friendly, and family oriented. It's just such a great fit for us. You know, our mission statement is to try to help save people money. And so when you're constantly thinking about how do we help the community, how do we help them save, it just goes hand in hand with us to turn around and give back to the community.
On that note, what has Golden Oak noticed in its dealings with these organizations and events in Middle Tennessee like Toy Field? What have you noticed about the way Tennesseans respond when asked for a helping hand?
Well, everybody rallies together, which is very heartwarming to see. You know, some big events have occurred here, obviously, the tornado and the floods, the bombing, since we've been here. And it's inspiring to see how the community continually rallies together and picks each other up. It's just really a special place. Nashville is definitely a unique and a great community to be a part of.
With Golden Oak Lending's historic low rate and all-time high home values, now is the time to see if you can get more cash out of your home by calling 629-777-GOLD or visiting goldenoaklending.com. Refinance today and make no payments until next year. James Hawkins, president of Golden Oak Lending, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, Lucas.
Many thanks to James Hawkins and to Lucas for conducting that interview. Golden Oak Lending is our 11 a.m. sponsor out here at Toy Field, where it's not too late. In fact, you have until 6 p.m. today to come out to drop off a toy for the Salvation Army's Forgotten Angels. Many thanks to our other sponsors, to T-Mobile for presenting Toy Field, to Planet Fitness, Freedom Boat Club, State Water Heaters, A.O. Smith, Two Rivers Ford, Equipment Finders Incorporated for providing the heaters that are making this weather palatable for us today. Bojangles brought us breakfast, and Uncle Bud's for supplying lunch and dinner. When we come back, we're going to catch up on something that I missed while I was out of the country last week. Apparently, great fun was had by all about this. When we come back, we're going to rip the Pred Stadium Series uniforms, and I'm very excited about it. That's next. We're live out of here at Toy Field, Buck Rising, with you till 1 o'clock. The whole Cumulus family of stations, 104.5 The Zone, 99.7 WTN, Super Talk, 92Q, whole bunch of people out here making things happen from Nissan Stadium today. 103.3 as well. New country for all of Tennessee is what that tent says in front of me. So you should check it out. And in the meantime, while you're checking it out, you should come by, bring a toy. And more importantly, Kirby Allen Kirby, who is orchestrating all of this, I'm convinced. I believe Kirby is in charge of basically everything that needs organization, at least in my life, which is probably why I'm so disorganized. But Kirby has told me that we need more gifts for seniors in need at this point. You can bring toys as well. We welcome the toys. We welcome anything that you are able to give. Of course, your generosity in any way, shape, or form is welcome. But at this point, we have far more toys for children than we do for gifts, than we do of gifts for seniors in need. So we would please ask you to consider them as well when you are considering giving here at Toy Field. East Concourse, interstate side of Nissan Stadium, Gate 1 is where you can drop these things off. All right, Lucas, we haven't done like a thing where you update it, where you told me everything that I missed last week. It felt like it maybe, you know, I don't want to necessarily spin our wheels, but there was one thing that you've brought to my attention. Well, actually, that the people who nominated winners and losers of the football weekend, even though it's not football and even though it wasn't the weekend, this received many nominations in my Twitter mentions. What happened with the Preds last week?
Released the Stadium Series jersey that they plan on wearing in January when they play the Tampa Bay Lightning in Nissan Stadium. Really cool event. I'm sure it'll be a great turnout.
Going?
But what?
You going to go?
Yeah, I'll probably try to go. I have not gotten tickets yet, but oh my God, the reaction to the jerseys. I have never seen something so unifying in the Nashville community, other than Toy Field, of course.
Other than Toy Field, right. The one for a good cause, the other one. Well, here's, all right, so I've seen the jerseys, okay, and I think there was potential there. There was potential there for them to be able to pull this off successfully. Now, I'm sure by now it's been less than a week, but it's been about a week since they've produced these things. And here's my biggest issue. It's not that the lettering in the center of the jersey, basically in the midsection of the jersey, it's not just that is horrendous, because I think it looks terrible. It's not just that it looks like a knockoff version of the East Nashville parking lot mural that Nissan Stadium is almost directly parallel from as we sit here doing the show live from Nissan Stadium today. It is the fact, and Lucas, I'd be curious your thoughts on this, and I'm curious the audience's thoughts as well, because I didn't have a chance to rip them for this, because it is so bad, and they're normally so good at marketing. For as many criticisms as I have of the Nashville Predators, they're normally so damn good at this. But my biggest issue is the fact that on the jersey is Smashville. It's not the Nashville Predators. It's not Preds. It's not, you know, whatever other version of the team you would want to be. It's a damn marketing logo that they've slapped. It's just a marketing ploy that they've botched 17 different ways. It is so inexplicable to me that they would screw this up so bad, because you had momentum on your side. Hockey, I don't wear jerseys, and I'm not doing like the anti-jersey thing. Like, I don't care. If you want to wear a jersey, wear a jersey. It makes no difference in my life whatsoever. But I don't wear them. But like, hockey sweaters are normally really, really cool. Like, if you're talking about like team gear, hockey sweaters are really, they're unique. They're often very well designed. They're not restricted by like the NFL, where your team can only wear a certain uniform with a certain helmet, and if there's going to be changes or alterations or anything, this has to go through like 17 different league and owner meetings for it to get approved. Like, none of this crap, all right? They have the entire world of creativity at their disposal, and yet them and Adidas trip over themselves in ways that are akin to the Titans coughing up 4 turnovers against the New England Patriots with a game plan that they have designed to win. It is among the worst things that I've ever seen. How did they screw this? Has there been any public statement? Has there been accountability? Have they retracted these godforsaken jerseys?
I think they're sticking. For me, it's the S's. Why is one S so big and the other one so skinny and non-symmetrical?
The font isn't the same size. Like, that's like marketing 101. It has to be the same font. You can't have like 17 different fonts.
It's a poorly done East Nashville mural is what it is.
It makes me so irrationally angry. It's unbelievable to me that this would be the case. And I think the Preds are as good at marketing. They're a hell of a lot better than the Titans are at marketing, even though the Titans have done things to try and make things better. But they botched this so badly, and I'm angry about it, because I think it's a cool event that they're going to have at Nissan Stadium. A hockey game at Nissan Stadium against one of the best teams in the NHL is as unique a thing as any sports city has the opportunity to host. And so we're going to do this, and we're going to do it great, because Nashville does all of these things so, so well. And yet everybody's good. How many people do you actually think, like, there's going to be some diehard Preds fans that get out there in these god-awful jerseys, but like, or sweaters, but like, I feel like you're going to put promotional stuff out there, and they're just going to get ripped every time they do it, because they are so bad.
Oh, there's going to be way more of the other Winter Classic jerseys from when they played in Dallas in the Cotton Bowl, which are really, really nice. The white ones, there's going to be way more of those than these that they just put out.
Oh, I saw that. It was brought to my attention again today, because we did winners and losers of the sports. I'm sure somebody out there likes these, and then I'm going to get some flack for it, because, you know, I'm more prone to criticizing that kind of stuff. So I'm sure somebody out there is like, you're an idiot there. I'm going to wear that with pride. I'm going to love it. I'm going to be out there. Why are you smiling? Did somebody call in and say that to you? What happened?
Yeah, he wants you to move on.
Well, wants me to is he on the line?
No, he's a coward. He dropped off.
Oh, yeah. A coward, you said. Move on. All right, I'm done. We'll come back, and we will. Mike Golic Jr. is going to be on the show today. I'd almost forgotten. We're going to talk about college football jobs that used to feel like destination, like Notre Dame and Oklahoma, two of the most proud college football positions. If you're a head coach, that's a destination spot. And two dudes just said up and, you know, up and left for better, quote-unquote, gigs. And I want to talk about that dynamic shift coming up next before Mike Golic Jr. of ESPN joins us. I'm Buck Rising. We're live out here at Toy Field, Nissan Stadium, East Concourse, Gate 1, Interstate Side. Bring gifts for children, but what we are lacking right now, guys, is gifts for seniors in need. We cannot forget about those people as well, because we're trying to do as much good as humanly possible to benefit people across the board, courtesy of the Salvation Army. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.